You are listening to Information and Inspiration with Jen Julius, helping you take control of your own life by finding clarity, improving your communication, and building confidence to achieve your goals. For more information about me and my guest, you can go to jenjulius.com and check out the On the Radio tab. Today, I have Jean Marie Jobs on my show, and we will be discussing leadership, the art of feeding heroes. I am so excited about this topic. I just can't wait to have her share all of her wisdom. This woman is amazing. She's the CEO of Yellow Marker. And Jean, can you just go ahead and tell us what you do, where you came from, and why you're so awesome?
Yay. Good morning. Thank you, Jen. So what I do is I work primarily with leadership teams, executive CEOs, to develop their leadership skills and help them inspire their teams. And what does it look like to create heroes in your own organization? I also have a nonprofit that we travel all over the world and do very similar work in the public and private sector. So I would say that most of my job is watching people come alive and be inspired. So I always feel like I have the best job ever.
Yeah.
I love it.
Doesn't sound boring at all.
No, not at all. So that's exciting. I originally hail from the great state of Texas.
Oh.
And a shout out to my mom. She's probably listening this morning.
Yay!
But just growing up there, and we grew up pretty poor. We didn't have a lot of means and spent several years just on welfare and trying to figure out life in that space, and just recognizing that it's not your circumstances that determine your world, that we get to determine our own world. We get to determine our own value and who we are and live into our vision and what inspires us individually.
Absolutely.
So to me, I think that most people, pretty much everyone I've met, no matter what country I'm in, I notice that people live in very similar conversations in their own mind.
Mm.
People live in conversations of, does my life matter? Can I make a difference? Am I doing it good enough? You know, all those conversations are human, whether you're in California or Afghanistan or Africa or wherever I've traveled, I've just seen that over and over and over again.
Wow.
And so in the private sector, in the business sector, I think there's lots of ways that we can come together as community and support people living out their legacy right now in real time.
I love that too, how you really, that seems to be a big passion of yours, just living out your legacy now,
mm-hmm,
right?
Absolutely.
And creating that.
Yeah.
So what inspired you then with the topic that you presented for today for the show, the Leadership, the Art of Feeding Heroes? I was so intrigued by that concept, and I'm just so excited for you to share whatever about this, because I think that people often don't realize that pretty much we're all leaders in some capacity.
Absolutely.
Whether we're a parent, I mean, you know that that's a passion of mine. Mm-hmm. Whether you're running a multi-million-dollar business or you're a parent or you're active in the community, in some capacity you're probably leading in some way. So how can you make sure you're making the best impact at all times, right?
Absolutely.
And choosing that. So when you also captured it with heroes, it's like, ooh, we've got some meat. Let's do it, right?
Great. Yeah. I think you're right. Everyone, another way to look at it is everyone's the CEO of them. Like, I'm the CEO of me. You're
yes.
the CEO of you.
Yes.
So we're running our lives however we're running them. And that is a leadership position.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have other people that they influence, people that watch them, people that they impact, whether they're conscious of it, aware of it or not. So I think it's just an opportunity to dial into reality in a sense. Like, hey, you have an impact. Is it the one that you're committed to have? I don't think we get to choose to not have an impact. You know, I think just by design, we're created to have impact. So
yes.
Since that's a given, well, what is the one you want to have? And
yeah.
Is that happening? And if not, start course correcting.
Yeah. And is that, have you noticed too, that when people realize that they're making an impact and that they can choose that and embrace that more, that they also kind of become more inspired, become more aligned, become happier in general?
Yeah, what I've seen is that when people recognize the difference, that usually the difference that people actually make is not the same one they think they're making.
Oh.
And connecting all those dots is a really empowering and exciting, and also at times intimidating, in a sense, reality.
Can you expand on that?
Yeah, that's I call it the weight of glory. Like, we were created to magnify our, you know, this glory, our inner hero,
mm-hmm.
what's present in us, in our spirit. And there's a responsibility in that.
Yes,
and,
yes, yes.
You know, people are afraid, I think, in general, of responsibility. there's a great business writer, Peter Kustenbaum, and he says that people stay immature in their leadership because they avoid the anxiety of freedom.
Say that again.
He said people stay immature in their leadership because they resist or avoid the anxiety of freedom.
Oh, wow.
This, like, this resistance against owning my own choices.
Wow.
And once we can responsibly own our choices and live from that space, there's a lot more possible.
It, you know, and so often it brings me back to that Marianne Williamson quote, right? Mm-hmm. That we're more afraid of our light than our darkness.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. All day long.
All day long. All day.
Yeah, I see it. Yep.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So with a lot of the trainings that you've done, especially around leadership, and you mentioned Afghanistan, Africa, we had a great chat the other day mm-hmm. about all the journeys that you've been on. It really is interesting to me too, that you see so many commonalities across such different cultures
yes.
as well. I mean, America is quite different than Afghanistan and Africa in a lot of the circumstances that they're in right now.
Yes.
And you see some pretty common threads. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. I think that culture influences people, and there are certain conversations, internal conversations, that human beings live in
yeah.
that are just human. And they're everywhere, wherever you are. I mean, and it's fascinating if you look at any anthropology or any studies of cultures in a broader sense, there are very specific emotions that are, you know, every culture has a word for.
Mm.
Contempt is one of them, which is so fascinating to me.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And there are certain body languages that mean the same thing all over.
Wow.
So there, people are all connected. We're yes. all human. We're all in our humanness.
Yes.
And that's the awesome thing. And that's the, you know, the struggle that we're in. And
yeah.
I think in both ways. But yeah, I've seen in deep conversations with people in a lot of places, people are looking for meaning. They are looking to know that their life matters and
yeah.
that they can make a difference. Even if they run from that, even if it's like it looks like everything they're doing is the opposite, it's almost in reaction to this reality of, I know in there somewhere that I'm created for greatness and I'm afraid.
Wow. Wow. And you've just seen that over and over again.
Yeah, over and over.
Even with kids too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. With kids. And I mean, and kids are their own special world.
Yes. They're, and I believe that they're still more connected to the, sometimes the bigger picture, right? When
yeah.
they're real young.
Yeah. Yeah. The little ones are, of course, fabulous. I just think that there's that tendency to be more in despair almost when you're younger, because you haven't seen quite yet that you can struggle and then life will turn out.
Mm.
I mean, as an adult,
yes.
most of us have this privilege of perspective where we can look back at our life and say, oh, that was hard. Oh, I thought I was never going to get through that. Oh, man, you know, whatever it is. And say, but you know what? I made it through that.
Yeah.
And my life is what it is. And I'm strong and I can do this and I can make choices and I can survive and I can take care of myself and I can create boundaries. And, but you know, when you're younger and when you're in the middle of it, it just seems like there's no way out.
That's right.
It's like when you're, you know, seventh grade boyfriend breaks up with you.
Oh,
it's the
man.
End of the world.
The end of the world.
I'm going to die. And I get it. I get it. I remember it. So
yeah.
No judgment. It's like, yep, I know.
Yeah. The struggle is real.
It's real, baby. So true.
I love that. The privilege of perspective.
Yeah.
Being able to reflect back. And a big thing I talk about is struggles into strengths too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we look back and say, whoa, that sucked when I was going through it for sure.
Yeah.
But oh my goodness, I can totally see how it served me.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious. A big thing that I talk about is resilience. And I'm curious if you could speak to how you see resilience showing up in or being an important factor in leadership.
Yeah, I think resilience is incredibly important, because that the reality is, if you're taking risks, which great leaders do take risks, they
yeah.
take great risks. If you're taking risks, whether it's with your resources or whether it's just emotional risk by connecting to people or vulnerability,
yeah.
You are going to get smacked around.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a saying that, you know, the tallest poppy gets their head cut off. Yeah. And I've heard that over and over again in in Europe, here, Afghanistan, Africa. It's this conversation that if you rise too high, people are going to take shots at you. And yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. People are going to take, I don't know if you get your head cut off, but you know, people are going to take shots at leaders, at people that take risks, at people who dare to individuate. But I think that unless we individuate, we actually can't come together as community. So, community is a group of individuals that choose to come together.
Yeah. Not,
otherwise, we turn into a herd. You know, and to me, there's
community
a huge difference.
Oh, we're about to get real crazy right now. Are you seeing me light up? Are you seeing this?
This is your conversation. I love it.
Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah. So I think it's that willingness to own whatever is you, your perspective, your emotional life, your impact, the wake of your touching people, talking to people, whatever it is, and just own it and be in it and allow yourself to be adjusted, to be sifted and not turn it into this overwhelming, oh my gosh, I'm the biggest failure in the world and life is terrible because I made a mistake. You know, it's like, you know, right. Get over it. Yeah. If you're risking regularly, you will be falling on your face regularly and you will be learning faster than anyone around you, I guarantee you.
Yes. And so much of what we learn is from oftentimes our quote unquote failures, which I don't even really look at it that way. It's like, oh, learn something cool. Don't do that again. Right. That's what I learned. I love what you just said about community versus herd. Mm-hmm. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, there's just a reality that if people are willing to stand as individuals, then they can choose to come together.
Yes.
If I'm not willing to stand as an individual, I'm just influenced by whatever you say, I'm just going to do it.
Right.
Whatever I say, you're just going to do it.
Yeah.
That's more of a herd mentality where you've heard the expression groupthink.
Yes.
Or where people are unwilling to take responsibility for their own personal stand.
Yeah.
I think the power of a healthy community is everyone is willing to take responsibility for their stand and they're choosing to stand together just because they choose. It's not based on anything. It's like, I decide that this is where I'm standing.
Yeah.
And we can decide to stand together and it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to, whatever, all that other stuff. It doesn't matter because I choose.
Yeah. And knowing what you stand for. Yeah. And what you're representing.
Yeah, we represent.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think that this is so important because as people are trying to figure out like, okay, so what do I believe in?
Mm-hmm.
What do I stand for? What do I want to create? What impact do I want to make? Right. Really, I love how you captured that with as we individuate, meaning that we really start to, as I call it, as we tap into our individual truth, mm-hmm. right? That concept of truth is really big for me. It's how do we then honor that and stand for that with other like-minded people, also knowing that we're not going to be completely similar and we're not all going to love the same color or want the same food or whatever, but together we can make an impact, an even bigger impact.
Sure. I mean, and to me, one of the pitfalls often of leadership is looking for people that are just like us.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they're the best people to be around.
Right. Duh. Duh. Duh.
And instead of creating a diverse leadership team, we create an army of clones. And I get it. I get that there's a strong draw to that. And I fight it myself. I completely get it. And the willingness to say, okay, I'm going to include people that are very different from me. Maybe people that even rub me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Because I need the perspectives from all other sides, because this people that think like me are awesome, of course, and they have a common perspective. So it leaves a big blind spot. And I think so there's that willingness to let people that quote unquote rub me the wrong way illuminate my blind spots and help me learn and see things that otherwise I wouldn't see.
They're all mirrors, right?
There's just all different kind of mirrors everywhere we go.
Everywhere. Everyone that we're running into is a mirror of something within us, right?
So
yeah. Wow. Okay. Yes. So as you've done, how long have you been in this realm of leadership?
I've been doing this specifically in the corporate arena about 14 years.
Wow. Is there anything that you've seen that kind of surprised you around leadership or you went, noted?
You know, it's interesting. I think people's interpretation of what motivates is very interesting to me. And Daniel Pink came out with a book a few years ago called Drive, where he really studied what drives people, what motivates people. And beyond money, beyond your plaque on the wall, most people are motivated by recognizing that they're part of something bigger than themselves. That's a primary motivator of all humans. But it reminded me of several years ago, I was working with an organization and I had the CEO and his executive team in this training. And I think there were maybe 12 people in there. And at one point, I asked the CEO in the room, how do you motivate your employees? Mm-hmm. How do you motivate your staff here? And he said, well, what I normally do is I go around to everybody in a given day, and let them know that I could do their job better than they do, but I don't have time.
I was like, is this real life?
Did
that just happen?
I go, wow, that's okay. So tell me how
motivating that, by fear. Wow.
Yeah, tell me how you see that's motivating. You know, he's like, well, you know, and he's explaining it. And so I ask, okay, raise your hand if that is a motivating communication to you. And about three people raised their hand. And I said, okay, tell me how that motivates you. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, screw you. I'm going to do better. Or, you know,
sure.
It's competition wise, which I'm like, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
Of course, the other nine people are just huge saucer eyes. They're going, what? And it was so fascinating because the gentleman sitting right next to the CEO, I could tell his face starts flushing with emotion. And he turns to him and he says, I have been walking on eggshells every day for 2 years, afraid that I was going to lose my job. You were motivating me? And I thought he was just going to break down. And the CEO turned to him and he said, I had no idea. You are one of my most valued team members.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, tears. I was like, wow. And I thought, wow, how much energy did this man spend every day walking on those eggshells and worrying about, am I doing it right? Am I doing it good enough? Is it going to make a difference? Am I going to get in trouble? Am I going to lose my job, security of my family, blah, 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 everything that goes with that? I would say probably an inordinate amount of energy.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I see in most teams, in most organizations, is whether they're super successful or medium successful, their success is usually what's leaking out.
Yeah.
In the middle of a lot of energy being diverted to other conversations that they're not even aware of.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you're really successful here with everybody working at 40%. Wow, what could open up if we even got to 50 or 60 by illuminating some of these conversations that people aren't even aware they're in? And because, you know, they suck energy.
Yes.
They suck energy. And energy directly relates to your return on investments, profitability, its effectiveness, all, not even to mention the relational dynamic as well. So all of that in the mix.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. It's interesting to me. The concept of being fear-based, driving from fear rather than being supportive and loving and help saying, oh, that's going really well. Let's keep doing that, you know, and connecting to that deeper passion and that bigger vision. I know that's another big thing that you share a lot with people is that, what's your value and what's your vision too, and how knowing our vision can help us stay connected to that and can help us stay motivated just from knowing that there is something bigger, right, that we're wanting and trying to achieve.
Yeah, well, I think that's the only thing that will draw us through the suffering that comes with the disappointment, failure, learning, adjustment, blows to our ego, et cetera, is that vision's got to be big enough. It's got to be compelling enough to pull us through all of those things that you know are coming and they're not going away.
That's right. That's right. Not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere.
No, sorry.
They'll be back.
Ooh, I feel like I need to take a deep breath after that one because I could picture that conversation.
It was intense.
Yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I'm curious how he shifted after that too.
Yes.
Just saying. So, okay. All right. Whew. I got a little triggered by that one. So when the concept of the art of feeding heroes, I was so intrigued by how you captured that. And I'm curious, in fact, I don't even want to ask too much of a leading question, but what does that mean to you?
Well, the way I think about it is it's similar if you've heard that old Indian story about the two wolves right inside and one only
wants your good. Tell the story.
Okay, so young brave goes to the wise chief and says, I feel this struggle inside of me all the time. It's like there's two wolves fighting and one only wants my good and the other only wants what is bad or what's evil. And I'm in this struggle every day, all the time. And please tell me, which one do you think will win? And of course, the chief says, well, the one you feed. Mm-hmm. So powerful story, great connection. Yes. And so this art of feeding heroes came from a few years ago. I was working through my nonprofit Gap Community in Africa, and we were working with a sixth grade classroom of young kids, probably about 70 kids that live in the Cape Flats, which is one of the most gang infested, poverty stricken, ghetto type areas in the country. Mm. And so these kids see their relatives and their neighbors get shot and killed almost on a regular basis, like monthly, every other week. So it's very, very intense. And so I was wanting to communicate to them that they have value, that they can make choices. They don't have to stay in this cycle of what is just around them. There's other choices beyond what they can see. So I started asking them, do you think you have a hero inside of you? And some of the kids, and some of the kids, I don't know, and a little tentative. And I said, well, do you think you have a criminal inside of you? And some of them, I just on the whiteboard, I said, tell me what it would look like to feed your hero. If you were going to make your hero stronger, if your hero was going to win this battle on the inside, what would you do? And they were, oh, you would be kind. You would tell the truth. You would help your friend. You wouldn't be mean to your sister. They had all these adorable things. Yeah, that's right. And what about feeding your criminal? What does it look like to feed your criminal? Well, you would lie, and you would steal, and you would hurt people. Yeah, absolutely. So we flesh it all out, have a whole conversation, and then encourage them to engage in those attitudes and activities that will feed their hero, because as they feed their hero, that's of course contagious, and then they feed other people's heroes. And it's the same, I think, in any organization, any community. What are we feeding? What are we focusing on? In ourselves first.
Yeah.
In ourselves first. It has to start personally. It can't be out there.
Yeah.
And let that be what is contagious, in a sense.
Yes.
So, oftentimes I'll go interview a CEO before a training engagement, and I'll say, tell me what you're looking at, what you're working on. And I just listen for how they're oriented towards the quote unquote problems in their organization. So, marketing, they're not doing this, and these people aren't doing that. So often just listening, I'll say, well, tell me what your contribution is to all that. And then they look at me and like, what? I want you to fix that. I'm like, yes, I understand. Tell me what your contribution is. Because clearly you like it this way, because this is how it is. Mm. So at some level, this is acceptable to you. Why don't we talk about that first, so that then we can actually address the systemic conversation?
I could see those conversations potentially turning ugly.
Yeah, sometimes I don't get called back, but this kind of work isn't for everyone, honestly. It's really for heroes. It's for people that want to take themselves on and challenge themselves. And I don't make any bones about that. I recognize the work that I do and just how I interact is probably not everyone's cup of tea. And that's okay, because there's plenty of stuff out there.
Can you expand a tad on that? Like, when you confront someone, like, hey, you're in this leadership role, what's your contribution to the thing that you're complaining about, pretty much? Mm-hmm. I mean, where
does it go?
Where does it go?
Yeah, I think it's, what's great is that, honestly, most of the time, people that are great leaders, they do want to hear that, and they'd stop and ponder and
want to take responsibility and have accountability.
Absolutely. Because if you can't do that, you can't affect change anyhow. So if change is about me changing other people, then I'm in a hopeless situation for life. So, what am I doing over here first? So honestly, most of the time it's fine. But it is, sometimes it's been just hilarious in the conversations, in a sense where I've had people, that's not true, and blah, 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 blah. And I'll just listen and, this thing that's happening right now where you're yelling and not wanting to hear, this is what's happening for your employees. This thing that's happening with me. Yeah. Do you see that? Because that's what I'm asking you to look at.
And then how does that go?
That's like, oh.
Yeah.
I honestly, again, most people, that are great leaders, they do want to see. They, even though it's hard.
And potentially maybe they have a fairly high level of awareness already.
Sometimes, And I get it's, you know, everything, every, all learning in a sense is an ego bruise at some level. Because as human beings, we love to always know the right answer.
Yes.
We invest a lot of energy in being right and getting it right. And so learning anything outside of what I've already decided is,
is a
confrontation at some level to my ego.
Right. And we know that the impact the ego can have on all the things.
All the things.
All the things. That's my favorite saying right now. Because it's true that our ego can just really be a huge limiting factor if we get too stuck.
Yeah. I mean, there's a strength, there's a weakness in it, just like everything else.
Yes.
And, you know, but I think what's great is people, what I see is there's a willingness to engage and to press through and to consider. I just had a call yesterday. It was a debrief with an organization I did some training for 3 weeks ago. And now that they've had about 3 weeks, the CEO and the VP to process, they were saying, wow, so many things got opened up and we see so many things. And I know that there were things we resisted even in the moment when they were brought up. And now we're really seeing them play out. And so thank you. And just their willingness to continue to stay in the process.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, good for you, man. Good for you. It's that developing your character is essential to developing leadership and maturity. And anybody that you're leading will never rise beyond your maturity level.
I'm just, if people can see me right now, I'm doing the whole shake my head, smile, oh man, because this is one of my biggest stances. One of the biggest things I'm standing for right now is the concept that when you're a leader, you're a role model, period. Whether it's in your organization, whether it's as a parent, whether it's as a community leader, when you're a leader, you're a role model. And so how are you showing up? What are you choosing to do? Because know that people are watching. And if you're trying to do the whole do as I say, not as I do thing, guess what? How does that work with a two-year-old? Not very well. Same thing is happening in, you know, adult life in the real world.
Yeah.
So how are you choosing to show up and role model the types of behaviors that you want, but also the character that you want to develop potentially in others in your community and your agency?
Yeah.
Right.
I think sometimes people hear that as you have to be perfect.
No way, Jose.
You know? Yeah.
So we're all doing the best we can.
Absolutely. So that's another part of it is the willingness to be vulnerable and to be humble. And like, you know what? I did blow it.
Yes.
Please
let me now take
me.
Accountability and responsibility for these actions.
Yeah. Let me make a course correction here. I see that I blew this whole conversation, or I didn't listen, or I was impatient, or all the way that impacts. And so that willingness to take responsibility and account for your impact is a huge piece of being a leader.
Hands down. So Jean, let's talk about the six distinctions of a leader and how great leaders are able to draw out people's inner heroes. That's what we had said that would be the primary meat. Our conversation's already been amazing, but I really want to hear the six distinctions of a leader and how you capture that.
Okay, great. Yeah, and these are really practical. So if you're listening out there, just an opportunity for you to ask yourself, wow, how well do I do this? How well do I presence this particular distinction? Because it's not an attempt to define or box in leadership. It's more, what are some things that I've seen? If leaders are presencing these attributes, it creates a bigger space for others to jump in and own their own hero-ness.
Yeah.
If that's a word.
Sure. It is today. Yeah. We make up words on this show all the time.
Excellent.
Trust me. Probably every show.
I'm in the right place. So the first one is the leader as a learner. So it's maintaining that beginner's mind, learning mindset, utilizing curiosity as an asset. So most of us get where we get in life because we become experts. And that's not a problem. You want your people to be competent. You want to be competent. I mean, this is not oppositional to being a learner. It's the way that you hold what you know.
Yes.
So it's not what you know. It's the way that you hold it and how and your level of certainty and your willingness to expand and even question some of the assumptions that you normally operate from.
Yeah.
And that's a huge discipline because, as you know, we're all addicted to our own point of view. It's our favorite drug.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay, capture that one. Addicted to our own point of view. Well, but let's be honest. I mean, most of the things that I say and think are right, right?
Of course. That's Done. Why. It's, all right. It sounds awesome.
Just be clear. Let's just be clear. This is the Jen Julia show. Yes. So, no, just kidding.
And there's a good reason for that. Right? So yeah. I think that's the first discipline is like, can I be curious? Can I see others' perspectives, points of view? Can I wonder about things instead of filling in the blanks for myself?
Right.
And that's a huge other component to that because the human brain does not like open loops. And so if we don't know an answer to something or why something happens, we'll just fill it in. So, you walk by me on the street, you don't say anything to me. I either start going all back through my referential index in my brain of like the last 20 times we talked and why you're mad at me and what I could have said and Or I think, oh, Jen didn't see me. Or I think Jen's just that kind of person or whatever. But however I fill in those blanks tells me a lot about my own view of the world, my own view of other people, my own view of circumstances, God, whatever.
Yes.
So it's part of it is that learning mindset to, well, let me just ask, hey, Jen, did you not see me? Oh my gosh, a friend of mine just was in an accident and I was so preoccupied I wasn't seeing anything. Oh, that's a different conversation.
Yes.
Than the one I was making.
This is, I really want people to hear this part right now because this is critical in my opinion to development and personal growth. Exactly what you're saying right now is the way that we interpret things, having a little bit more, like you said, curiosity, openness to how could I look at this differently?
Yeah.
Or what could be a different truth around this, right? Because depending on what maybe traumas we've experienced or our experiences in relationships, friendships, we're gonna interpret things how we've been shown they've been true in the past, but does that mean they'll always be that same truth in the future?
Right.
Not necessarily.
Probably not. Yeah, and that's a lot of times what we ask in our work is, our training work, what else could be just as true or truer than the story you landed on?
Yes.
So that we want just to expand the narrative. Are there other narratives?
What could be just as true or truer?
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect.
So yeah, that's the first one is just maintaining that learning mindset. And of course, that's a discipline for all of us, I think, at any level.
Yeah,
just that willingness, to be a student in life.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the next piece is, we call it ears to hear because I like to use the LEADER acronym. It just helps me remember.
Yeah.
excuse me. But it's really about listening. It's about the way that we listen to people and what we listen for. And if you think about our listening, it's like a filter. So oftentimes what's being said isn't exactly what's being heard.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. And we usually notice it when we're on the other end, but for ourselves to start to slow it down and notice that I have a lot of internal conversations going on all the time. Hey, so does everyone else.
Yes.
That doesn't mean anyone's crazy, although of course you feel that way sometimes, I'm sure, as do I. It's just that there's a lot of conversation competing for the external input.
Right.
So if I'm talking to someone, but inside I'm thinking, well, what are they thinking of me right now? Or, oh, I don't like what they just said, or, oh, that's wrong, or I got to get groceries later, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We just aren't listening most of the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was so interesting. I was in a training the other day and I was listening to an interaction and there was the facilitator was, I was training, was a man, and he was interacting with one of the participants who was a woman. And he was asking about this whole thing about listening in conversation. And she started talking about, well, with my husband, for example, we have agreements about different things he's going to do around the house and chores. And when I talk to him about it, we talk about, well, how come, you know, you didn't do what you said you would do and what's going on for you and da, da, da. And the facilitator said, so what's it like for your husband when you tell him that what he's doing isn't good enough? And I thought, that's so interesting because she didn't say that, but that's what you heard. And it was fascinating as we later debriefed that conversation.
Yes.
I just asked him, does this woman remind you of your former wife? To which I got the shell shock look. He was like, why are you asking that? I said, well, because I think the conversation that you heard wasn't something she said. It was something you were already saying to yourself in your head. Mm. And her communication got filtered through that. And wow. That's why it sounded to you like she was saying it's not good enough when she actually wasn't saying that. Do you notice? Wow. Do you notice that? And it was an awesome revelatory moment.
Yes.
And a perfect picture of how this happens to all of us all the time. We are just so imbued in our conversation that sometimes we really can't entangle it from what other people are saying. Because what mm-hmm. I'm saying to myself in my head is pretty loud.
Yeah.
And of course, it's always right, too.
Obviously.
Clearly.
Obviously.
So just part of being a leader is the willingness to pay attention to our internal conversations so that we can start to question and examine them and tease them apart from other conversations.
Yes.
You just turn down the volume a little. You probably aren't going to get rid of them. And it's not like they're all wrong or bad. It's just sometimes they're so loud.
Right.
We're not really listening.
I can't hear other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes what I call listening is just waiting for my turn. It's mm-hmm. not the same.
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Ears to hear. Love that.
And the other piece of that is I think that being heard and understood is one of the most profound human experiences that we can share.
Yes.
So to create space for that, yeah. whether or not people agree or it doesn't really matter, just that moment of connection where someone gets, wow, you get me, you hear me, you see yeah. me, is powerful.
Yes.
And to presence those moments is a privilege, I think, of leadership.
Yes. Yes. Completely.
So that's our E. So E's. And then A is being adaptable, being flexible, being willing to flex our style based on the context or maybe the person.
Yeah.
So sometimes leaders hear that as being wishy-washy. Mm. And so it's a finesse, right? Mm-hmm. It's a way. So I can't talk to every single person the same way. Some people I can have very short bottom line communications with and they receive that. And that in their world is efficient and helpful. Yeah. Other people, if I attempt to do that with, will receive that as I don't care about them and I am just being a taskmaster. Mm-hmm. So how do I take the time with some person that maybe receives the communication with, hey, Jen, how are you doing today? I just want to check in. How are things going? Okay, great. We have this thing we're working on. How's, you know, do you need any help with it? Are we on track? Yes. Okay, great. So that there's a huge completion for you. Whereas the person next to you, I might be able to just turn and say, are you on track? Yep or no? Okay, good. Moving on.
Right.
And it's okay.
Yes.
Either way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, the concept of treating others how they want to be treated, right? Yeah. Potentially. Yeah.
So it's just that willingness to flex. Most of us find a style or a mode that works for us, generally speaking, and we apply it in every single context in life.
Yeah.
And so that willingness to say, okay, this strategy works in this context. It doesn't work in every context. How can I create some margin internally in myself to stop and say, okay, this is how I automatically would do it, or maybe how I would prefer it, but hold on.
Yeah.
What's the context call for?
Right.
And can I shift myself to this context for another level of connection and effectiveness?
Wow.
And that, again, these are all disciplines, right? Because they don't, totally. I don't think they come naturally in the sense to any of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm already thinking about how I sometimes struggle to be flexible. It's like, no, because sometimes we get attached to our structure and our systems and the way we do things is the right way and the only way. And yeah.
Yeah. And people get into conversations like, hey, this is just how I am. Well,
yeah,
there's choice in the world, even in that. So let's open that up a little bit and see what else is possible.
Yes.
In addition to your automatic default, which I get we have.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. What else is possible? I love that. Simple as that. Just being able to ask ourselves, what else is possible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play with that for a while.
Yes.
Yes. And so that's our A, and our D is direction. Mm. Leaders need to have a direction. They've got to have a clear vision, something that they cast, that they put out there, that they call, it's a call to action. It's a bigger picture that people are moving towards. And like I mentioned earlier, that's a very compelling motive for most people to see how what I'm doing contributes to this bigger picture.
Yes.
And when employees lose sight of how their piece of the pie fits into the overall vision or the value of the organization, that's when you often get people demotivated, distracted, sick days, not working, because hi, what I'm doing doesn't matter. And when someone has that conversation and that experience gets created, there's not motivation happening. Right? People get all kinds of things happen. People get sick, people steal, they do just because it doesn't matter, which translates to I don't matter.
Ooh, and that's a deep one.
Yeah, it is. And so it's huge. And leaders need to have this direction and vision casting. I often tell organizations that I work with, the CEOs, you can never over vision your company. You're going to need to vision and revision, and you can't over communicate that, because all of us get distracted in about 1 second. Yeah. You know, yeah. Squirrel.
And we're just like, so me.
So how can we continue to cast this vision, revision our organization, draw people together on a really regular basis, so people can see what their contribution is and how it matters and how it fits? Because that, yes, to me is a reason to get up and show up anywhere.
That's right.
That's a big piece of it. And is that vision big enough that people can come and play? Or as a leader, do I have it so narrow it has to look like this, right? You can only play this way. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are some things maybe that's appropriate for. And we've got to think about, are we creating space for other people to bring their gifts? Or maybe they would do it a little bit different or a lot different. And is that okay? And do we have room to even be curious about that and consider that and create space for that on this journey that we're all taking together?
Yes. Wow. Wow. So important to actually having a vision that you can, when things are hard, that you can reattach to.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's as simple as that. Like sometimes we have to have something to believe in, mm-hmm, to look forward to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Direction.
All of sure. us.
Yes.
Yes. And so then our next E is enrollment. And this is the way that we engage people to participate. So we're always, it sucks, or, you know, I hate this organization, or sometimes we're enrolling people into, hey, feed your inner hero, be amazing, you know, pay attention to your impact, you have something to give. We're constantly enrolling. Yeah. I think as human beings, it is a given. Yeah. It is happening all the time. Yeah. I mean, I've had 2-year-olds enroll me into going to McDonald's. I don't even like McDonald's, right? But I have been enrolled. My girlfriend enrolled me years ago into going shark diving in South Africa. And I was like,
in real life?
In real life. Wow. Real life.
Whoa.
I was thinking, who would ever want to do this? It's freezing. They chum the water. So you're just, it was gross. And her passion for sharks was over the top, and she enrolled me. All of a sudden, I found myself in a wetsuit. I'm like, wow, how did I get here?
Oh, okay. Wow.
So that idea of passion and letting your spark or your passion for life be contagious, and being willing to let other people influence you with their spark for whatever that is, and have that mutual exchange of enrollment. So as leaders, we're constantly enrolling.
Yes.
And who's doing the enrolling? Are my employees enrolling me into what's not possible or what is possible? What am I enrolling them into? Attitude, mood, all of those things are huge components of that. It's a way to think about what's the environment or the energy that I create.
Yeah. Wow. Got it. Interesting. An interesting concept too, to think about, that we're always enrolling people in something.
Into something. Hmm. Always into something. Mm-hmm. Even if it's, you know, I've enrolled people in, I can't possibly do this. Oh, good. You got everyone's agreement on your limitation. Good for you.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, wow, what? So is there a counter story to that story that we can, that can be just as powerful? You know, that we can invite people into.
Yes.
So I think that's a huge, huge just attribute or something to presence for leaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then our last one, the R, is responsibility and results. So we talked a little bit earlier about that freedom of anxiety, that, oh, I got to own my choices. Well, am I responsible when I look at the results in my life, in my organization? When I look at them, do I have a responsible conversation about them? Mm-hmm. Or is my conversation, oh, it's because of this, it's because of that. I have all kinds of excuses or reasons.
Yeah.
Because there's an inverse relationship, right, between the reasons and the results.
Yes.
So how am I looking responsibly at whatever results I have at any level
relationally, sales, however I look at it. Mm-hmm. And if a leader's not willing, or if they resist looking at the results, if they resist looking at what I call current reality, then there's no way to navigate towards vision. If I don't know where I am, I can't get where I'm going, right? So yes. If I'm avoiding or not wanting to see certain components of my reality, of the actual results, yeah. which include the hard data results, it also includes relational, emotional environment, energy, all of those things. If I'm not willing to really mine those and interrogate those, I'm going to be limited in my capacity to reach whatever that next level is.
Wow. Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't even know where I am.
Right.
So hard to get anywhere.
Yes. When you don't know where you are to be able to measure where.
Yeah, exactly.
Responsibility and results. Yeah. Yes. And being able to take responsibility, being responsible for what's happening is how you're also going to be able to see the results that you're going for. Right.
Yeah.
Or that you're already achieving. Mm-hmm. Simple as that.
Absolutely.
So we've got leader is a learner, mm-hmm. ears to hear, being adaptable and flexible. Having direction, having a clear vision.
Yes.
Enrollment, because we're always enrolling people in something, right?
Always.
And responsibility and results.
Yeah, that's
the six distinctions of a leader. I hope you captured those and wrote those down, because this is big stuff. Being able to really understand also the concept that we get addicted to our own point of view. Mm. So how can we take maybe that step back, right? And say, all right, how am I showing up? Am I being curious? Am I being open? Am I allowing some vulnerability in these interactions? And kind of, again, what am I standing for?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. And then to bring that back around to when we're aligning with these six different components, I feel like that directly then allows us to, as you said, draw out people's inner heroes, mm-hmm. to be able to then connect with them, mm-hmm. and bring some of that out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I work off this assumption. I don't know if it's true or not. I just choose to work off of it.
Sure.
That everybody really wants to leave a mark. Everybody wants to leave a mark in this world that we're in. And whether, even if people get desperate or despairing and feel like they don't have a mark to leave or they don't care, I think everything is somehow connected to this willingness to leave my thumbprint.
Yeah.
And I think tandem to that is the reality is we're all leaving thumbprints all the time. We're leaving thumbprints all over each other and marks.
Yes.
And are those the marks that we're committed to leave? Are we being intentional about those marks? Are we being responsible for the marks that we leave? Are we willing to be curious about the marks that we leave? Or do I just live in my own fantasy about how great my intentions are?
Mm.
Or am I willing to separate my intentions from my impact,
mm-hmm.
and look outside of myself to the other,
mm-hmm.
and will the good of an other instead of just imagining what I want and what I intend internally, and that's what's really happening.
Wow. Wow. Yes. I don't have much else to say after that. I don't have much else to say. Thank you so much. This is so perfect and beautiful. Is there anything else that you really want to make sure that people hear today around leadership, around drawing out people's inner heroes, around these concepts that are so full of meat and potentially life-changing, in my opinion?
Yeah, I just think that self-awareness is one of the least talked about attributes of a great leader. Mm. And this the most,
which is crazy to me, because it's like the first thing that I do with all my clients is awareness raising, right?
Yes.
How do we just get super aware of what we're currently choosing? Like the fact, like, I'm sitting here with my legs crossed, that's an unconscious choice. Like having those kinds of awarenesses and raising that is so critical to then making different choices. You can't choose different if you don't know different.
Yes, absolutely.
See, I get all charged up with that.
I know. Absolutely. You know, consciousness creates flexibility and choice, right? So if I can see, I can choose. But if I'm not even aware that what's happening is a choice, then I don't see that there's another choice.
You nailed it. If I can see, I can choose. I love that.
And I think that's really the space of a great leader is applying all disciplines to self first.
Yes. Yeah. And self-awareness, mm-hmm. self-awareness. Wow. Okay. Well, then here's the $1 million question. I warned you there's going to be a surprise question. If you could shout out one thing to the world to just really take your stand for, to have be heard, what would it be?
One shout out to the world to hear my stand. I think that
that's something you just want people to hear.
I think, you know, the biggest thing that I want people to hear is that there's always hope. That in the middle of heartbreak and circumstance and devastation and struggles that we all live in and live through, there is always hope. And to persevere.
Yes.
Just to stay in and persevere. It's such a lost topic in our culture. Yeah. Idea of perseverance, because we're so disposable minded, to get out of that disposability, quick fix mindset and be willing to persevere for something great, because there is greatness in each of us and you absolutely have to persevere for it.
Yeah. There's always hope.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been great to be here.
Yeah. So how can people find out more information about you and the workshops and the things that you're doing all over the world, literally? Like, how can they find out more?
Well, my website on the business side is yellow-marker.com. And on the nonprofit side, it's GAP Community, G-A-P Community, altogether.com.
Wow, beautiful.
Yeah.
And they can find out more about what you're doing there.
Yeah, and there's blogs and there's, we have a lot of resources on both of our, on both the sites, so that people are interested or they want to look at some other perspectives, they're there to look for.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be here today.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
It's a privilege to have you here. I mean, you're doing big things and it's a privilege that we have you here in our local community and all the great things you're doing in the world. I'm just so grateful.
Thanks, Jen.
Absolutely. And thank you for listening to Inspiration and Information with Jen Julius. For more information about me and to check out some of our previously recorded shows, you can go to jenjulius.com or you can like me on Facebook at facebook.com/jenjuliuscoaching. Thank you so much for your time, for your interest, and for your curiosity. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and take care.